Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf, back where I should be. That's the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright.
Good to have you back, Jenna.
Thank you. Very good to be back.
I know it was
back.
Tough traveling, a lot of storms.
Boy, there's a lot of bad weather in the middle part
on.
Of the country.
Jenna
yes.
Wolf was out late last night.
Oh, I have to give kudos to a guy named Dwayne from Delta. He was one of the gate agents. He's a huge fan of the show, and because of him, I am back here today.
Oh, so you got celebrity treatment. Some other poor sap is sitting.
I appreciate it. Way to take care of my people. Anytime you see my people out there traveling, we need free stuff. We need upgrades. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, get it done.
There's somebody right
Thank
now
you,
who slept overnight in Oklahoma City's airport. Like, but that was my ticket. Why the lady in workout gear?
I am glad I am back finally after all this preview. We got a game to talk about tonight. Big show today, so we'll talk about that. Rockets are considering blowing up their roster. Adam Silver confirmed that word too. Some of the drama surrounding the Lakers, but obviously we are going to start with tonight's big game one of the NBA Finals. Long awaited for the Warriors, 9 days since they last played. Much anticipated for the Raptors. 5 days since they last played. Warriors looking to win their third straight title. Raptors, their first ever. Warriors have a dynamic lineup, minus Kevin Durant. But tonight, they'll go up against Kawhi Leonard, who was lights out in the conference finals. Raptors are big underdogs in this series, but that doesn't faze Kawhi.
Still between the lines. Playing 5-on-5, like I just told him. We're still playing basketball. We have a scheme. Just focus on that and don't focus on our outside attention. And, you know, we know what we need to do. You're inside this locker room every day, so don't pay attention to people who are not in your locker room.
We understand the hoopla and the pandemonium around the finals and how different things are when it comes to just the schedule and the vibe. So we've seen a lot, and we'll be ready for it. It's just kind of got to get settled in, early. We know the crowd's going to be crazy. And for us, it's a great opportunity to go out and, you know, just give her 110% and figure it out.
Nick, I'll start with you. There are a lot of layers to this series and this matchup, but let's just start with the basic. What is Toronto going to have to do to beat the Warriors in the finals?
In order for Toronto to win this series, they're going to have to abide by something I'm going to call the rule of 104. 104, Jenny, you know this is apparent. Kid's temperature gets to 104, you take him to the hospital.
That's it.
In the playoffs, if the Warriors score 104 points, you lose. They've played 99 playoff games in this run. So this will be their 100th game, playoff game, which is kind of remarkable in and of itself in this run. They're 65-9. 65-9 when they get 104+, when it's a high-scoring game. They are 10-15 if you hold them under that number. You cannot beat this team. 121-118. You cannot say we're just going to play at your pace. We're going to play your style. We're going to trust our offense to go toe-to-toe with your offense. The Cleveland Cavaliers tried that in 2017 and lost in five. The reason the only team to beat them in this run, the Cavs in 2016. What was the final score of that decisive Game 7 in Oracle? 93-89. You have to slow it down. You have to stifle them in the half court and keep them out of running in the full court in the transition. That is the biggest key of this series. There are a lot of other secondary and third keys that we will get to, but the biggest one is you've got to keep the Warriors in essentially double digits. If you do that, you win more often than you lose. If not, you win about 1 in 9 times. That will be the biggest key of this series and tonight's game for Toronto.
And CC, if there's any team that could do that, it's going to be a team as defensively savvy as the Toronto Raptors.
Right. That's the reason why they're in the finals. The reason why they're in the finals aren't the first two games of the series against Milwaukee. They are the last four games. And in those last four games, there were a couple things that did take place. We talked about Kawhi Leonard being switched over on to Giannis. There's not an adjustment that I believe that the Toronto is going to make like that going into the finals, but they will make this adjustment. They slowed down the pace. The pace they made the Bucks play at would have been the slowest pace in the NBA by far during the regular season. So, Nick, to your point, this is how they got to the finals. If you don't think Nick Nurse and his coaching staff, one of his coaching assistants is one of the assistants that was in Cleveland. And when Cleveland came back from a 3-1 deficit, the one thing they controlled in that series, even when they were down, was the pace of the game. So pace has a lot to do with it when they have struggled. Their overall experience. So how do the lack of experience, you talked about these Warriors as they exist, 100 playoff games. Man. The Raptors, this is their 101 playoff game as a franchise. So lack of experience, a huge advantage. So how do I get that? Take advantage of the crowd. Let's play with a lot of emotion. People talk about the Raptors and their fan base being more like a college atmosphere. People's out there at Jurassic Park outside the stadium. Take advantage of that. And if you're going to take advantage, you must take advantage of the first half. One thing Portland did and how they stayed in the games, they outscored Golden State by 23 points in those first four games and before they got swept. Toronto, take advantage of the crowd. They need to get out to a nice lead because you know Golden State in that third quarter, they always make a big run.
And would you say take advantage of at least game one where you know Kevin Durant is not going to be there? You don't know his future for the rest of the series, but take advantage of a game without Kevin Durant.
Well, listen, I don't think the Raptors can win the series this weekend, going long weekend in Toronto, but they can lose it. If they go down 0-2 in Toronto, it's over. 1-1, they're fine. 2-0, they're feeling great. Like, to your point, and that's with or without Kevin Durant, even more to the case because I feel like we know KD is out for both games in Toronto. Steve Kerr said,
even though he made the trip, he's probably not going to play.
Steve Kerr said yesterday, he's got to, exactly what Chris said, he has to get to basketball and then have a couple more days of contact. There's not enough days left on the calendar.
Yeah, there's a process. First the treatment, then you start exercise, then you're released for contact, and then you can start to practice.
Right.
They're not going to have any practices on Friday and Saturday. They're just going to have shoot-arounds. So then how do you get guys to run up and down the court with them? So, no, it's not enough time.
Even if he were released for contact today, he wouldn't have time to play Sunday. And he's not going to be released for contact today. So, of course, these opening two games are critical, and they're critical because in these 100 playoff games the Warriors have played and are 100 as of tonight, there's only been one series they started on the road, and that was the Rockets series last year. It is unfamiliar territory for them to start on the road. But see, if any team is equipped personnel-wise to impose its defensive will on the Warriors, it's a team that has Kawhi Leonard, who has two Defensive Player of the Year awards, mm-hmm. Mark Gasol, who has a Defensive Player of the Year award, Danny Green, who's mm-hmm. been on an all-defensive team, yep. Serge Ibaka, who's been on all-defensive teams, Pascal Siakam, who will be on an all-defensive yep. team, and Kyle Lowry, who I feel like was snubbed a couple years ago from an all-defensive team. The Raptors' top six is an all-defensive team in and of itself. That is what gives them the best chance anyone has had since Cleveland in 2016, in my eyes, to pull off what would be an epic upset.
That's what they're going to have to do, Nick. They have to be able to slow it down. Toronto doesn't have the personality, and I'm a little concerned about this, to make the game as ugly as the Clippers did. Now, they made the Milwaukee.
What do you mean ugly?
Ugly
little,
as if a little dirt, chippy.
Physical, little.
Yes, I'm physical in the sense that they would question it to be able to get up under the skin. I don't think Kawhi, Kyle Lowry, the other player, Serge Ibaka is one to watch. Him he's and Draymond Green. Serge Ibaka is one to watch anytime he's on the court. So I just think with their fundamentals, how they play defensively, and they have to get out to an amazing start. They got to make that crowd feel like they're bringing a world championship to be able to keep them in the game. No one's more equipped, though, for that. 100 games of experience in the playoffs by the Warriors.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Now let's talk some Houston Rockets. Okay. After they built their team to beat the Warriors and then were eliminated by the Warriors in four of the last five postseasons, they're reportedly ready for wholesale roster changes. Like, basically, the whole roster is up for sale. According to reports, while a James Harden trade is extremely unlikely, everyone else is available on the market, including Chris Paul and Clint Capella. Nick, is this the right approach for Houston right now?
I mean, it's the only approach. And I want to preface my comments with this, because I know people know I have a relationship with the general manager of the Rockets. I have not talked to Daryl since this report came out. So everything I say here is my own opinion and speculation and gut, nothing coming from Daryl. But as far as Harden goes, who would you trade Harden for? Giannis? Yeah. Steph? Sure. If Anthony Davis said, I'd re-sign in New Orleans if you got me James Harden, then David Griffin would have a real question. Would I trade Zion, 7 years of Zion?
So you wouldn't trade straight up Anthony Davis for Harden?
I would not, because I don't think you have Harden locked in for 4 years. You cannot trade in my
mind. So if you knew he was going to stay?
If you knew he was going to stay, I don't think I think I'd need more. I think Harden's better than Anthony Davis. Harden has proven more than Anthony Davis. We say Harden is not in the playoffs what he is in the regular season. We don't know what Anthony Davis is in the playoffs. You could trade Harden for Giannis, Steph, or Zion.
What about LeBron?
So that's a really interesting question. That would you, if you're the Rockets, if you're the Lakers, you would do it. Because you have Harden, he's younger, he has a year extra on his contract. If you're the Rockets, do you think that is enough of a change, and do you think you're getting enough of a return? To me, that's an interesting one, but I have been told there is a 0% chance the Lakers are trading LeBron James. So to me, that is something of a non-starter. The real question is, assuming Harden stays there, what can you get for the other guys? Clint Capella, I think, has real trade value. He just can't play against the Warriors, and if you can't play against the Warriors, you can't really play for the Rockets. Chris Paul has almost negative trade value. Someone put out a fake Chris Paul trade, and it's the only one that I think kind of made sense. Like, Andrew Wiggins and his awful contract, and Robert Covington. That one, okay, maybe, but does that make you better, or are you just trading one tough contract for a younger player's tough contract? The Rockets are a little stuck. I'm a gambler. And the Rockets have gone all in. And sometimes you go all in with the nut flush and you're sure you've got it, and somebody has a straight flush and you lose. And the Rockets went all in with that Chris Paul trade, guaranteeing him the contract when they traded for him, thinking they could beat the Warriors last year, and they were this close and didn't. Thinking they could beat the Warriors this year, and they were that close, and they didn't. And now you're in a spot where, how do you make this team better? No cap flexibility, not a lot of super tradable contracts other than Capella. I don't know what they do, but you got to do something.
With right now what's going on in the NBA, I would stabilize. I wouldn't even try to make a big offseason. I wouldn't try to do that. Last year, Daryl Morey, he knew he had some problems. He had a couple contracts that he didn't want to sign guys to, which would hurt the team as far as growing into the future. Those little role player guys, he was great at going out and picking out a couple guys. He can still do that. I think with the coaching, if they make some adjustments, if they listen to Chris Paul, if they create a little more variety to their offense, because we saw the most isolated teams in Harden and Giannis, both of them not have success in the playoffs. Why? They're talking about shoulders and elbows. Guys are packing the lane in the playoffs. Harden from deep, is that effective enough? Are the analytics strong enough that you can win a playoff game that way? Harden lost. Giannis lost by them packing the paint. So if I was them, I would just try to find a couple other little players. Golden State's not going to be Golden State. And I know they'll be saying, well, Golden State beat them without KD. Well, KD even got them through five games almost, though. Could they have beaten Houston if they didn't have KD at the beginning? I don't think so. And I think that's the Warriors team they'll be facing next year. Why everyone else is maneuvering, don't know where Kawhi is going, don't know where KD is going. You know Golden State's going to be less next year. Stay the way you are. Depend upon your scouting department, which is one of the best. Don't make a mistake right now by overreacting. You're very, very close to the Warriors. You are the closest. Let's see Toronto, but you're the closest thing in the NBA to being able to knock off the Warriors. Stay that way. Rely on your scouting department. Get you a couple little pieces, players that aren't really expensive.
Don't you think that's the case? They came a hamstring away last year from beating them. They could have beaten him this year for a few minor tweaks. You're talking about a few small changes to this lineup as opposed to overhauling and basically starting from fresh. Don't you want to play this out a little bit longer if you don't think you can move Chris Paul?
All right, so that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is last year they had Golden State in an elimination game up 15 points and they lost. They then had them in an elimination game at home up 15 points and they lost. They then had Golden State on the ropes in a game that Kevin Durant got hurt and the Warriors were shell-shocked, and they lost that fourth quarter. They then had them at home to extend their season, put Golden State, their first game of the playoffs, going into the game without KD, were the 7.5-point favorites, and they were never in control of that game, and they lost. So I understand why it would be tough to tell the team, roll the ball back out there, let's try it again, when this team has beaten your head in four of the last 5 years.
I don't believe it's that tough to tell the players because the players have seen the film. They've seen how close these series are. They know Golden State's not going to be where they are. These guys, man, let's have a good summer. Let's come back. We know that there was some type of conflict between Chris Paul and Harden. Be able to get that worked out. They're adding a couple new coaches to their coaching staff. What about adding a new wrinkle? All right, like what about playing some defense? All right, all those things are not lost on the rest of the teams in the NBA. When you get into the playoff, Houston has to be able to play at a higher level defensively. That's one thing that they have missed out on. Add that part from a consistent standpoint, and you might have something because you're right there knocking on the door. The most successful teams have gone through exactly what they're going through right now before they were able to break through.
I want to get back to something you brought up a little bit earlier, and that's the possibility of the Lakers being involved in this. Would the Lakers be crazy to trade for Chris Paul in that contract?
I think they'd be crazy. I think that now I'm sure Daryl is trying to. My guess is Daryl let it be out there that Harden could be available to get people to. This is the old bring someone on the car lot to see this car. And it's like, well, actually, I got this one for you. Like people maybe call about Harden. He's like, well, I've got a great late model Chris Paul to tell you about. There aren't teams right now I look at that would say we're a Chris Paul away. We can fit in his $40 million.
Ooh.
And the Lakers, I think if the Lakers really want to, they will be able to trade for Bradley Beal. I think he's a better option than Chris Paul.
Absolutely.
The Lakers signing a free agent with their cap space and keeping their young players is a better option than Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a first ballot, no doubt Hall of Famer, one of the eight greatest point guards in the history of the league.
But he's
35. He's not done. I don't think he's done. But he is not
worth it. He's done being the co-star.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Can he be a three on a team?
Yeah, but you're paying them $40 million.
That's the problem.
Over the next three. Next one. Not the next two.
Wow.
He is making some serious cash.
The Yankees years ago consigned Mark Teixeira like he's the best player in the league and have him be the fourth best player on the team because there's no salary cap.
Sure.
When you're in a league with a salary cap and Chris Paul's going to make upwards of $40 million, it's tough to. So, yeah, he'll call Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka and try to wheel and deal there. And, hey, LeBron's always want to play with Chris. Like, but I don't see that happening. And the Kings, the team that everyone's relied on for years to take on bad deals, they know they have De'Aaron Fox, so that you can't even trick the Kings anymore into taking your players. So I don't know. I think Chris Paul's going to be a rocket moving forward. Clint Capella could get moved. He has real trade values on a legitimate contract. And if he doesn't get moved, though, his job is, to your point, C, be the difference next year. Improve, develop a post move, and become more playable against Golden State.
I keep saying it. It's going to be such a fun offseason this year to see all the moves. The 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup kicks off in 8 days. All eyes will be on Alex Morgan, Carly Lloyd, Megan Rapinoe, and the U.S. Women's National Team as the defending champs head to France looking to win an historic fourth World Cup. All the matches will be live on Fox and FS1.
France, by the way, the same odds to win it as our ladies from the U.S. A little home cooking maybe for them. Should be a great tournament. Can't wait.
That was my French reaction.
Yeah, we
time now for say what? Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning paired together yesterday at the Memorial Pro-Am out in Ohio. And after the round, the two bickered like an elderly couple. Say what?
Did you hear the scratch part? That's the part that doesn't quite add up to me. You know, he says he's a zero. I'm like, but you're really not.
How often do you guys get to play together?
Not enough.
Once a year.
Do you bet when you play?
We didn't this time. He's got a little bit of work to do.
My handicap's up for debate. I told him I was a four at altitude.
He's a four and at altitude, which is fine. I'll give him, call it eight here.
At sea level.
And I'm a scratch.
He says he's a zero. I'm like, but you're really not.
So I am. I play every tournament to a zero. He plays every tournament to his 4A altitude.
We argue before we tee off, and then we just say, all right, we'll just play.
What tips do you give him on the golf course?
I really don't. I give him a lot of crap.
Okay.
I really don't.
You didn't want to help him.
No, God, no.
That's great. Look at Peyton bringing out a little sense of humor in Tiger Woods.
Oh, no, Peyton Manning is a funny guy.
Peyton is funny. I didn't know Tiger was.
Tiger in that inner circle?
Yeah.
If you can break through that, you're definitely.
Well, Tiger got, very early in his career, he got burnt by a reporter. Told an off-color joke, like in a limo on a way to the thing, and they published it. And ever since then, he's like, okay, I'll just
pretty
keep
guarded.
My sense of humor to myself. The other thing I took from that video, we forget how big Peyton Manning is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just
the prototype. 6'6", yes.
I mean, look at that. You saw Peyton hit an 18-footer for birdie on the 18th hole of that Pro-Am yesterday.
Yeah, great golf course. I've played that golf course many a days. Jack, the greatest Buckeye that's ever lived in any sport.
Quick question, the elevation thing, that's just a joke.
Yeah, they're joking.
Awesome. Yeah. Time for stories to start your morning. Here we go. The Rockets, tired of losing to the Warriors. They're reportedly ready for wholesale roster changes, according to reports. While a James Harden trade is extremely unlikely, everyone else is available, including Chris Paul and Clint Capella. Nick, is this the right approach for Houston?
Listen, I feel like it's the right approach. Doesn't mean they're going to make wholesale roster changes, but if you can get someone to take the Chris Paul contract off your hands and give you some real flexibility over the next few years, that could be a positive. And Clint Capella might have more utility for a team out east that isn't trying to get through Golden State than he does. You got to deal with Joel Embiid and some of the other bigs. So, yeah, I think you at the very least test the waters. I don't know if you're going to get any biters, especially when it comes to Chris Paul.
If they can trade Capella, I'm all for that. The rest of the team, they should bring back. Get into the gym. They've already changed the coaching staff outside the head coach, changed all the assistants. Send a message to the team. Everyone's available, but I'm just trying to scare them, Jenna. Get to the gym. Let's work out. Let's be a little better next year. We only got to be a little bit better to get beyond Golden State.
I'll meet you there, Rockets. All right, moving on to Anthony Davis. AD reportedly met with David Griffin in L.A. yesterday, and his stance remains the same. He's still reportedly demanding a trade from the Pelicans. All right, C, where does AD end up?
Ooh, this one's going to be tough here. The Lakers definitely want him. I believe David Griffin's going to try to trade him somewhere. Nick and I have been going back and forth where they think. I believe he ends up in New York City.
Oh.
They trade him to the Knicks.
So we know Anthony Davis wants to be in New York or L.A.
Yes.
Little Birdie told me yesterday, Jerry West and Los Angeles Clippers do not expect to make a major trade offer for Anthony Davis. They are much more focused on a guy out of Toronto in Kawhi Leonard and building their offseason around him. And so it's going to come down to do the Pelicans value the third overall pick, R.J. Barrett most likely, so much more than the fourth overall pick to make that trump the Lakers' players they can include, which are better.
I know this wasn't the same, Birdie, but yesterday someone told me that the Clippers are feeling awful comfortable about landing Kawhi. Awful comfortable.
We got to see if our birds know each other.
Okay, that's
weird. Hey, let's hook them up.
Moving on to DeMarcus Cousins now. Steve Kerr says the big man is pain-free, but he's still questionable for tonight's game one against the Raptors. See, how much impact can Boogie have?
I don't think he can have that much of an impact. I'm worried about the pace. I'm worried about him being a liability on the defensive end. I do believe that Toronto's going to try to play big. So I believe that Steve Kerr is going to think about you know, trying to utilize him. The series, I don't think in the first couple games, I do think we will see a Boogie Cousins appearance and before we see Kevin Durant.
I think we'll definitely see Boogie before we see Kevin Durant, but this is as tough of a coaching decision as Steve Kerr has had in his 5 years as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. I listen to Jeff Van Gundy, who I have enormous respect for, talk about how difficult it is for Steve Kerr in this spot where your number one goal as the coach, your number one job is to put your team in the best position to win, but your number one obligation is to help your players succeed. And so right now, those two things might be juxtaposed. And Boogie has no experience coming off the bench, no experience playing 6 to 8 minutes. This is a really, I don't want to call it combustible necessarily, but it's a difficult spot for Steve Kerr to be in when Boogie has never played a game like this and is coming off a multi-week layoff.
And you can't afford him not to play effective. Give him 12 to 15 minutes and he's not effective on the court.
Absolutely.
All right, finally, one of the brightest storylines this postseason has been the play of Kawhi Leonard, some even comparing him to Jordan and Kobe. But despite leading the Raptors to the first ever NBA Finals, his future in Toronto is very much up in the air. Raptors GM Masai Ujiri says the team has to focus on the task at hand before worrying about free agency.
I said it from day one, we're going to be us. You know, I think Kawhi Leonard is a superstar and we're going to treat him like a superstar, but we're also going to do all the natural things that I think will help us get to that level, to convince Kawhi that this is the place for him. And the future conversations I've had with Kawhi about the Golden State Warriors, and that's his mindset. Yeah, his mindset is what is at hand right now, what's the job right now. And the job right now is to beat the Golden State Warriors.
See, what are the chances the Raptors can hold on to Kawhi if they win the finals?
The more games they win, the better their chances are. Right now, the Raptors are in the driver's seat because he plays for them. And where they're at, they're in a special time. All the finals are, I mean, they're memorable. And if you can continue to build on the memories that he has created. Right now, Kawhi Leonard, in the limited number of playoff games he's played in with the Raptors, he's third all time in playoff scoring for the franchise. All right? And if he can pull off four more wins, it's the type of environment where he's worried about his basketball game. Am I going to get better? And he's gotten better. So now he's worried about his health. They've hired a doctor. That relationship has been well between the doctor, Kawhi, how much he's going to play, load management, all those types of things. He's very, very comfortable with his teammates there. And the last thing is, man, Kawhi Leonard's about basketball. He's about trying to be better. All the other things that we talk about with the other players, it's not as if Kawhi is an odd guy. He's just different than them. He just wants to be good at basketball. He's a Southern California kid, but right now playing in Toronto, they have the biggest draw on him because they have the biggest stage.
And Kawhi said something very interesting. It was either yesterday or the day before when he said, listen, I played with the Spurs my whole career. We came here once a year. I was in this city one day out of the 365 days a year, going to work that day and then out on a flight either that night or the next day. He said, Now I'm living here. Now we're playing 41 games here. You get to really understand the fans, understand the environment, understand the city. So Toronto is in the best position they've been in since the moment they traded for him. But unless the Raptors get wiped out in this series, which I don't think anyone's going to pick. I don't know what your pick's going to be, but my guess is both of us, whomever we're picking, it has this thing going 6 or 7 games. I think Kawhi is going to have full license to go anywhere. And Toronto, even if they lose, assuming it's a competitive series, has made as strong of a case as they possibly could have.
I can tell you right now, his opinion has totally changed since the first day. When he showed up 2 days after the trade and he met with the general manager, his overall attitude, because that was not one of the teams that he wanted to be traded to. So they've had that type of impression on him.
Before we move on quickly, give me Give me the sales pitch from Toronto, besides the fact that we have a good team and we can win. I mean, what are you selling them on besides going home, being able to play closer to where you grew up, all of it?
Well, I mean, I think it's we can pay you the most money. We're a championship-level team. We have stability within the organization, and this is look at our fan base. And if you the negative sales pitch as far as they're really, in my mind, competing with the Clippers at this point, first and foremost, if not exclusively, the negative sales pitch that you sell on the Clippers is they can offer you all these things. They can't offer you this fan base. You will go to a city where you don't even have the full support of that city. Here you have the full support of a country. And so I think that's the sales pitch. I also don't know that it will matter to Kawhi. And he has played so well. And the only thing that's hurt Toronto about this run, C, is it has absolutely validated Kawhi's opinion that I do not need to play with another star. We become a contender wherever I set foot. So that hurts the Lakers a ton, hurts the Knicks potentially, I think, a lot. But it could help the Clippers enormously, right, which is what's the difference between the Clippers this year and the Raptors this year? One of them has Kawhi Leonard and the other one doesn't. So I still think even if they win the title, Kawhi could do something that's damn near unprecedented in NBA history, be the best player on a title team, and then say, I'm going to go play for a different team next season.
All right, let's move on now to Kevin Durant, talk about him. Even though he's officially out for tonight's game, he still made the trip to Toronto in the hopes of maybe playing game two. Head coach Steve Kerr said we have to see him practice before he can play. And while we can't discuss KD's play quite yet, we can very much discuss his impending free agency. CC, would the Warriors winning a title without Durant have more impact on his legacy or on his future?
I don't think it has anything to do with his future. I think that the people that cover this, the legacy is the only thing that they're going to be able to talk about. Now, to me, I think it'd be totally different if they had won a title against LeBron James without Kevin Durant. I don't know if people are going to give Kawhi, we haven't seen the series played out, unless he plays like LeBron, because I think that people will put him in different categories. Golden State's a phenomenal team. We think maybe the best collection of talent we've seen the last 30 years. So in respect to that, can they win a championship without Kevin Durant? Everyone knows that they can. I don't believe that it affects his legacy as much because they were the best team in the NBA. We wanted to punt on this season. We started the season like, hey, let's get over to next season. Let's get the free agency. So we thought they were going to win. So now they have to win two series without him. Look at the matchups. Look who they beat. They beat Portland. Now they beat Toronto. I don't think people would be like, you know something? That's one of the all-time great runs that we saw right there. He had to go through, like Kawhi. Kawhi had to go through Philadelphia, Joel Embiid. Then they had to go through Giannis and them 60 games. I mean, I think that their run has been a little more historic.
And difficult.
Absolutely. So I just believe that Kevin Durant, people are going to pick away at his legacy anyway. His legacy is not dependent on what happens right now. His legacy is what is he going to do after this? That's what's going to solidify Kevin Durant's legacy.
Well, let's look at it. Let's just assume for the moment he doesn't play at all. If they win, to me, as far as his future, if he was 99% gone before, if they win the championship without him, that 99 goes to 1,000. He is gone. There is no justification, no chance he were to come back. And in my mind, if they win this championship and he doesn't play, his legacy takes what I would call a temporary hit. And that temporary only becomes permanent if he never wins another title. If they win this title without him, then those little kind of fuzzy asterisks some have placed next to the previous two titles, everyone places those next to him, or most everyone. But he can erase them. You a little magic eraser if he goes and wins a title at his next stop. To me, the more interesting dynamic is, assuming he doesn't play, if they lose. Because now, all of a sudden, everything is back in play. If they lose without him, those little fuzzy asterisks from the previous 2 years are gone. It's no, the difference was you won with him. The last time you were in a finals without him, you lost. The next time you were in a finals without him, you lost. The two that you had him, he won MVP and beat LeBron. And then, to me, the more dangerous part is if they lose without him, the door creaks open to him staying. The door creaks open to him saying, well, wait a minute now.
Or it justifies his saying that you guys aren't what you thought you were without him.
Right.
Depending on how he's thinking.
But to me, it is all signs are pointing to him going to New York. But if the Warriors get blitzed by Toronto and lose, and all the commentary is, you know what would have changed the series if 35 was out there.
And then you know what I'm going to say? You've been yapping for 2 weeks telling me, oh, man, I got all these stats. They're better without
him. Okay, hold on.
They're better. Exactly what I'm going to say.
Okay, that's fine, but that's also – we're not there yet. So let's just wait. Let's just wait a moment. The point is, for KD, one of the reasons that myself and others in the media – no one has come out and said Kevin Durant is going to New York. Everyone has couched it just 1% because wild things happen. Could the wild thing be he gets hurt, they lose without him, and now it's like, wait, you can pay me the most money. It is the easiest job. It is the best place to win. So either way, there are real legacy and future implications if he doesn't play in this series.
Kevin Durant was the best player on the team, on the court, the last 2 years in these finals. Is there anything to him not wanting to, he's a sensitive guy, we know that, not wanting to come back if he's not 100% because he maybe perhaps wouldn't be the best player on the court?
No, I think Kevin Durant is a competitor.
So as soon as he's cleared to play, you think he's back?
If he could be out there for 15 or 20 minutes. I had an NBA executive tell me one of the reasons why they want to go after KD, because he's a gym rat. They believe he's going to play in the NBA till he gets 40. He ain't going to never get tired of playing basketball. He always talks about it, and the thing that I've seen most impressive about Kevin Durant this year is when he sits down and talks basketball, it's amazing his basketball mind. So, no, he's a gym rat, loves the game of basketball. If he can get out there and spot up, sit in the corner and shoot jump shots from the corner, he would do that. That's the type of basketball player Kevin Durant is.
Kevin Durant will fight to get back on the court. There is no question in my mind whatsoever. I've obviously been, of everyone on the show, the most critical of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, get that.
Okay, so
leave me in general.
So I will own that, but I will never question how much the guy wants to win, how much he loves the game of basketball, and how important it is for him to play on this stage and on every stage. The moment Kevin Durant is close to being cleared by the trainers, he will be fighting with the trainers to get
it will be clearance. Not be the same conversation Boogie Cousins is having, where he's saying, I'm paying free. They've been like, okay, go on out there.
Right.
Boogie Cousins, are you paying free? He's still questionable because Steve Kerr knows right now it could mess up everything we have compared to having KD.
Here, first things first, NBA champ, FS1 NBA analyst, all-around good guy, Antoine Walker joins
NCAA
the show.
Champ
what up, Antoine?
Thank you, NCAA champ. I appreciate that nice intro right there.
I only had 15 seconds to work with. I had to take one out. I took your college years, but next time I will put that back in. All right, Twan, NBA Finals kick off tonight. Warriors taking on the Raptors, trying to win their fourth title in 5 years. Golden State boasting the number one offense in the playoffs, while Toronto boasting the number two ranked defense. That is a collision course for a great series. It's a loaded question, Antoine, but who's got the edge in this one?
I mean, obviously Golden State has the edge. They've been there, and that's 5 years in a row. I've got guys that have been in this situation. When you look at, obviously, Toronto, the experience factor. But I like Toronto. I think they match up really well with them without Kevin Durant. I think they have the ability now to switch, you know, one through four. They can play small and feel comfortable playing small. With KD, it makes it a little harder. So I like what Toronto can bring to this series. They have a closer and the guy who can get you 35, 40, what you need playing against the Golden State team. My only concern is, can they get to 110, 115? Which you may have to get that to beat a Golden State team. I don't think 104, I think that's what they're averaging in the playoffs, Toronto. 104 is not going to get it done when you're playing against the Golden State Warriors. And who's going to be that X factor for Toronto to step up? Whether it's Kyle Lowry played the way he played in the Eastern Conference Finals, Sabaka. I mean, you got to figure out who's going to be that guy to help Kawhi Leonard on scoring the basketball.
So if we're asking specifically, not necessarily pick for the series, but who has edge, Warriors offense, Raptors defense, that end of the court, that's going to come down to me, one question, which is how do they deploy Kawhi Leonard? And if they deploy Kawhi Leonard the way I think they will, which is he guards Draymond Green, and they don't do a ton of switching, and he guards Draymond Green, so the thing that has ruined the league in a positive way, wrecked the league over the last 5 years, the Draymond Green-Steph Curry pick and roll that no one can solve, that no one can defend, Ask Kawhi Leonard to disrupt that. If he does, then the Raptors' defense has the edge. Because without Kevin Durant, they don't have as many secondary pitches to that. With Kevin Durant, they got one of the greatest secondary pitches ever. Dump it to KD, let him make a shot. Without Kevin Durant, that offense can stall a bit if Kawhi can do something no one's been able to do, which is disrupt the Steph, Draymond, high pick and roll.
Antoine, you know this, that when you get through that conference final, that pressure ratchets up. All the different interviews, all the different ticket requests, all the people calling you, all the different distractions are a real possibility. We're talking about a franchise that hadn't had this type of success in Toronto. So for the players, even though Mark Gasol, playoff experience, limited. Kawhi, he's got a lot of playoff experience, all right? But can he carry from a whole experience standpoint? So for me, the advantage has to be able to go to the Golden State offense, because in that pick and roll that you're talking about, I don't think that Steve Kerr wants to play against Kawhi in the pick and roll. He would much rather have Kawhi in the corner where he doesn't have as much effect on the game. So what they do, if he guards Kawhi, they don't put Draymond and Steph in the pick and roll. They bring one of the other defenders. So when they do switch, because they know it's going to be a switch, Steph would have a better matchup. They don't want Steph going against Kawhi. So I look for them, and they have that ability to be able to variate their offense so easily. They see it all the time. They see which defender they want to Steph to go against in the pick and roll. And then they send whoever's the best defender, send him to the corner. So I believe that the way they can run their offense is a huge advantage, and being used to the pressure of the finals, that you know, if those first couple shots don't fall for Van Fleet, does he just stick with shooting it compared to a guy that's been to five straight finals? Klay is getting ready to shoot that ball. Steph is getting ready to shoot it, so I'll give the slight advantage to Golden State in their offense.
Well, I think to both of y'all points, your point first, Chris, I think with experience does matter. I think the biggest shell shock for me when I went to the finals, and it's funny, was the media. The first day dealing with the media and how, you know, it's 300-400 media requests out there, and you got to do all these interviews. That's a big part of it in the beginning of. I think also, too, you got to have a guy in the locker room that's going to be. I don't know how much Kawhi talks. We don't see a lot of it. But he's going to have Danny Green, guys that have been in that moment, guys that have won championships, have to be very vocal game by game in timeouts, keeping guys' confidence. When a guy like Fred may miss a couple shots, staying with it, staying confident. The one thing that I had was Shaquille O'Neal. We lost. We was down 0-2. We got killed both games in Dallas.
Yep.
But the first thing he said coming on the bus is that we all right. We're going 3 games at home. We're going to take care of business. That reinsurance, having those veteran leadership, is going to be very important in the situation, because Golden State's not going to panic. You got to be willing to take their runs, take their hits. They've been there before. They've been down at halftime pretty much the whole playoff series. They come back. They fight back. So you got to be ready for that. And those are things we got to look for. And is Nick Nurse going to be willing to make the adjustments needed for that pick and roll? Is he going to play a Kawhi on Draymond Green so they can switch? I don't know. This is the first time we're going to see that. He did a great job, obviously, in the Walker
great
series.
Great adjustments, too.
Made the big adjustment. Is he going to be willing to make the same adjustments and just not worry about Kawhi scoring the basketball? Kawhi could do both.
And if they – just real quick on this, because I'm going to – I know it's a little inside, but the Draymond-Steph pick and roll is what has defined this Warriors era pre-Durant and what they instantly went back to post-Durant. If they do what you're saying, then what Golden State is forfeiting is Draymond's playmaking, and you are allowing Kawhi to play center field. You put Draymond in the corner, Kawhi will say, go ahead, pass it to him, shoot the basketball. And if you have Kawhi on Draymond, I don't know that they have to switch it. I don't know that you're doing that so he switches on to Steph. Kawhi is so good, he can show for a moment and recover. I don't know if that's what they're going to do. They might say Kawhi's offense is too important. Mm-hmm. That's too much of a workload on him. Let him guard Andre Iguodala so he can rest. Maybe that's what they'll do, but that's Nick Nurse's biggest decision.
When you decide to trap Steph Curry, what Steve Kerr does is he puts Draymond in the pick and roll. He doesn't always have Draymond in the pick and roll. When you trap Steph Curry, then he puts Draymond in there because Draymond's the best playmaker.
Yes.
So Draymond is the outlet, and then he's able to make plays because now they have the advantage. Typically, if you don't trap Steph, they won't put Draymond in the pick and roll as much.
Back here with Antoine Walker, and it's time for Say What? The Warriors begin their quest for a three-peat tonight, but Chris Bosh is hoping Steve Kerr and Golden State's pursuit falls short. Say what?
The three-peat is a hard thing.
Yeah.
You didn't do it with Miami.
Nope.
You said Steve Kerr gave you a lecture on that a long time ago.
Well, it wasn't a lecture. He said we weren't going to do it. So I'm going to tell him, you're not going to do it either, Steve.
I hope Toronto, the organization, I hope Bosch, Vince Carter, McGrady, Damon Stoudemire, I hope they're all up there for one of these games. This is a great moment for that organization. 25 years in the league.
And Drake, you forgot Drake. You hope Drake's
I'm talking about all-time
there.
Great Raptors.
I think Chris is there. I think Tracy's there.
Okay. I'd like to see Vince be there.
I mean, Stoudemire, Vince, after that.
Vince,
after, I mean,
maybe he does a little work in it, mm-hmm. with NBA TV. He might do
something. But I hope they do something.
That's wishful thinking.
Why you say that?
Oh, it was Stoudemire. He was Rookie of the Year. He requested a trade out of Toronto.
I understand.
All the other guys and requested Vince, to get out of Toronto.
I understand. Vince quit on him. I get all that. Yeah, that's water under the bridge now.
So you want, you want them to honor guys that got to the second round of the playoffs?
I want them to bring back the greatest players in the history of the franchise.
We'll have a tribute.
For the greatest moment of the history of the franchise.
I can respect that.
My
like
goodness.
That.
DeMar DeRozan probably won't be there.
It's tough for DeMar.
Yeah, he's somewhere shooting the mid-range right now.
It's tough for DeMar.
All right, the Rockets built their team to beat the Warriors and then were eliminated by the Warriors in four of the last five postseasons. They're reportedly ready for wholesale roster changes, like basically the whole roster is up for sale. According to reports, while a James Harden trade is extremely unlikely, everyone else is available on the market, including Chris Paul and Clint Capella. Tuan, is this the right approach for Houston, in your opinion?
I think it's the right approach. You got to get younger at some point. They've spent the last 45 years trying to be able to match up with Golden State. Obviously, you cannot beat Golden State. This group cannot beat them. Last year, you win 65 games. You have a unique opportunity to have home court advantage. You don't take advantage of that. Obviously, we know Chris Paul got hurt, but it was no way they should have got the series last year. This year, you don't have Kevin Durant, and you still can't get past him. So you got to get that out your head. And now the Western Conference has gotten much better. Portland will be good again. Oklahoma City will be competitive. San Antonio will always be competitive. I mean, the Lakers should be back competitive. So it's
Clippers
not,
will be better.
Yeah, so you're not going to have just Golden State being the only team you go out there. You don't know what's going to happen with their team. It's time for them to focus in on their team. And it's hard because Mike D'Antoni is your coach and James Harden fits that system really, really well. The system does not win championships. It does not get you over the hump. It's not the right system. I don't think it's hard. Even though I don't care what coach you bring in, it's hard to say we're going to become this defensive team when you don't have defensive players to do that. This is an offensive-minded team, and it's going to be very difficult for Houston to do that. So everybody should be on the block. If nothing happens, I know they don't have any cap space, but if nothing happens, you can come back with that group and be very competitive. But, Chris, I heard you earlier. You're going to have to be able to get in the gym. Guys got to get better, dedicate their summers to trying to get over their hump, add something to their game, and I don't know if they're willing to do that. They had their chance the last couple years. They blew it. That's over with.
I agree with most of that. I think they do have the ability to be a good defensive team. They were the number six defense in basketball the year they won 65 games. This year, they started the year terribly defensively. They got better as the year went on. I think P.J. Tucker was the one glaring omission from all defensive team. And Clint Capella is out there for his rim protection. Now, Clint Capella is the guy, first and foremost, that has to get better this offseason. He has to develop some type of offensive game that isn't catching lobs from Harden off the pick and roll. Like, that is your number one goal if you can't make a change. But this is the rest of the league, I'm sure. There are a lot of people that don't like my pal Daryl Morey. Think he talks too much, thinks too smart for his own good, all these things, right?
Wow. Same reason why they don't like you.
Exactly right.
Okay, go ahead.
Why do you think we're friends? And so Daryl, very publicly, everyone's punting, we're not. We're going for it. We're obsessed with Golden State. We're not focused on 2020 when it's 2017. We're focused on this year. And I'm sure there's other teams in the rest of the league saying, yeah, and see what it got you. It got you a bunch of bronze medals. And they don't give those out in this league. And now you're in a spot where I don't think anyone believes trading for Chris Paul was the wrong decision. But in order to get Chris Paul to agree to come to the Rockets, you had to tell him he was getting this contract. And you do it hoping that his first year there, you can win a title. And they were this close. And you hope the second year there, you can win a title. And they were that close. And it's going in the wrong direction for them. And I see you mentioned earlier that a lot of teams go through this process. You can't beat a team, you can't beat a team, then you beat them. It's rare that it's a five-year process where four of those 5 years, they knock you out. And the 1 year they didn't, they would have in 2017. You just got knocked out by San Antonio before.
And as a former athlete, both former athletes, if you're playing for the Rockets now and you know the team all but gave up on you, they just want to unload the roster and maybe keep the one guy, if you're Chris Paul, that you've kind of been arguing with as far as, you know, ball movement and whatnot, how do you say, all right, now, go, okay, no, we couldn't move you. Go get better, and let's come back and roll this back, and let's be a cohesive unit again. If you're an athlete, I know we talked about the young guys and for the Lakers maybe on the trade block, but now these are veterans. I mean, is that a little gut-punching?
Well, this is the thing, yeah, but we're all adults. I mean, we're in a big-time business. People got to make tough decisions. I'm sure you understand that. You've had disappointments. Yeah, we're going to do the show, go a different route. I said, man, y'all need to hire Jenna Wolf. Oh, no, we're going to do this. Eventually they hired Jenna Wolf, and you know what you did, Jenna? You put your head down, say, I'm the best person for the job. The show is going to be better. And that's what Chris Paul and them need to be saying. They need a little more variance in their offense. And collectively, when you get to the playoffs, everybody's got to chip in and play some defense. We can't be just an offensive-dominated team. I believe that they were close enough. I do like the fact that the owner and the general manager would send a scare into people, because sometimes you need different tactics to motivate different people a different way. But
it's tough, Chris. When you get a player like James Harden, especially a player as he is, that window opportunity to get to the championship level is hard. Mm-hmm. Being close ain't good enough. You know that. I mean, you can say and they've had opportunities. They've had some things work their way. The first year, Chris Paul obviously pulls his hamstring. It goes against him. They lose Kevin Durant, a guy who was at that point was playing the best basketball of any basketball player in the playoffs, and you still couldn't get over the hump. So I don't know how.
Now that was only a game and a quarter. Now if Kevin Durant misses
out, once he's out, he's out.
I can understand that, but if Kevin Durant, if he misses the whole series and they beat us, I would feel that way. Now, I really respect your opinion, but we're only talking about they only had to get through a little bit. And you know what Steph Curry, you know the way they run their offense. Is Golden State capable of beating Houston in one game? One game, winner take all. We would all be like, yes, absolutely. Now, if it had been the whole series, I'd have been like, listen, man, we need to trash everyone, get rid of everyone, and move on.
Just two quick points. One, the first one is I understand the point of you were this close and you didn't get there. Like, I get what both of you guys are saying in that regard. For the Rockets, though, the reason they felt they had to go all in was because they have the MVP. Because you look around the league, how many players, how many teams in the league can say, it's the Warriors, it's the Lakers, it's the Rockets, maybe all of a sudden it's Toronto or Milwaukee. Like, there's only a hand. You can be a GM for 20 years and not have a league MVP on your team. So that's why they go all in. I just think sometimes you go all in and you lose. And that's and you put yourself in a position where they have won.
But going all in as far as gambling is totally different than in sports. Because next year we're going to play 82 games. We're going to get ready to see. You're going to have injuries. Golden State is coming back to the pack.
But to Jenna, to your point, the big difference, I think, between what's going on with the Rockets right now and the Lakers is during the year as opposed to in the offseason. Everyone knows transactions happen in the offseason. That is a very different situation than in the midst of a year, this is our team, everyone is
and
up.
And there's more veteran players. They're more used to the rumors. Chris Paul's been at a couple teams, so the rumors with them losing to Golden State are running rampant. As soon as they go to the locker room, they know, are they going to break up this team?
Look, breaking up the team isn't as easy as just doing it. There's a lot of big money contracts on it. Chris Paul, for one, there's a rumor, it's floated out there that maybe the Lakers would be a good landing spot for Chris Paul if they could pull off a trade. Would the Lakers be crazy to trade for Chris Paul?
I think so, because I think the reason why you'd be trading, I think Chris Paul now is the third best player on the team. Now, I don't think he's the second guy. I know the money says he should be the second guy on the team, but I think he's the third best player on the team. I think he can play that role a lot better. You saw that this year throughout the playoffs when they needed him to have a big one. We talked about it on the show that we needed Chris to get 20-25, and it was tough for him to get there. So now he's probably is a 12-15-point score, still can defend, still can make plays for other people. So you got to think about that, where he's at right now in his career. I don't think he's done playing. I think he still can be an effective basketball
Absolutely.
Player. But I think the role that he has to play, mm-hmm. I don't think the Lakers need that role. I would rather take a young ball
yes.
who can defend, who can play the point guard position. I would rather have him than Chris Paul. I wouldn't give up.
At a fifth of the money.
Yes. Oh, right. Of course. I mean, the money speaks for itself. I'm not going to take anything away from them. I'm with guys getting paid.
If Chris Paul was making the money Lonzo Ball's making, then it's a different discussion.
Well, they're different players,
right?
Too.
Even where the Lakers want to be. I know LeBron, he doesn't fit well with LeBron.
No.
Even basketball-wise, I don't even like the fit.
Let me tell you something, man. If they put Chris Paul and LeBron, me and Nick can go out there because they can't defend a whole bunch. In the Western Conference, him and LeBron in the backcourt is not a good match. The Lakers would be doing – oh, they would just continue with the craziness if they decided to go with Chris Paul.
And if I may, just real quick, for the record, so everyone knows, the only person who Jenna Wolf wasn't the first choice was me, because I didn't want to be the third best athlete on the staff. I knew I was going to be second best. Chris and the bosses were fighting for forever, and I finally
just
waved the white flag.
Can I just say, I may not have been the first choice, but I was not the last choice.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
absolutely
so thank
not.
You
yes.
very much.
Yes.
And whoever
and
won,
I was the only
gotten.
One fighting against you.
The person who supposedly won don't even have no TV career. Now, eat that wherever you at, you loser.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.